India's economy takes a hit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. India's stock and bond markets are shut down for the time being. The financial capital of Mumbai has been paralyzed by this coordinated assault on the city. 100 people are dead and more than 300 injured from attacks on two hotels, a restaurant, a train station, and several other locations. An Islamic militant group claims responsibility. India's economy has been in a growing stage, although a fragile and vulnerable one to attacks like this. Elsewhere in Asia, the stock markets are done for the day and finished with gains. European shares are also up about 2%. Wall Street's coming off a strong performance. Yesterday, the Dow gained 247 points, almost 3%, to finish at 8726. Today, of course, Wall Street is closed. More dire economic news from overseas. In Britain, more than 30,000 jobs are in jeopardy after a major retail company collapsed. That would be Woolworths. The low-cost chain has gone bust after 99 years. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Woolworths, an offshoot of the American Five and Dime stores, has more than 800 shops in Britain. They all face closure. The company went bankrupt last night after its bankers pulled the plug. The timing is unprecedented, with almost a month to go before Christmas. British consumers are famous for their prodigious levels of shopping throughout the festive season. To pull the plug now shows how desperate for cash the banks have become, says analyst Robert Clark.
The irony of it is with Woolworths that it actually makes money at Christmas. It's the only time that it does make money. So it would probably have been profitable trading fully through Christmas.
He says the danger is there could now be a fire sale of Woolworths stock. That could trigger a pre-Christmas price war, sapping the profits of other stores. Many more could go bust in January. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Here in the U.S., Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke has made it clear he may have to lower interest rates again to get banks lending and people spending. The only problem is that credit card companies are kind of working against that. They've launched a new wave of rate and fee hikes for the holiday season. Here's Jill Barchet.
Many credit card customers have received notices this week that read more like bah humbug than happy holidays. Some cards have boosted finance charges, cut the number of days to pay your bill, and increased late fees.
We saw American Express increase some of their rates significantly.
That's Michelle Grabo of Informa Research Services. She tracks credit card rates around the country. She says this is only the beginning.
We're hearing international transaction fees could be going up.
Mark Sacher is managing director at Oriema Consulting Group. He says banks are scratching their heads over how to make money from credit cards in these troubled times.
It's the fact that credit loss rates are so high these days. They need to find a way of offsetting those losses with increased revenue.
Sacher says banks are also under pressure from regulators to reduce their risks. That means banks may get stingier with your credit limit this holiday season. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SaveAndInvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at SaveAndInvest.org. By Clarkson Potter, publishers of The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, a holiday gift idea for people who love to eat. Now available at SplendidTable.org. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution by carrying the load of 280 trucks by rail. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Every year, Consumers International gives an award for the worst product of the year. Last year, it went to a Japanese company that promoted sleeping pills for children. This year, I'm thinking, how about mortgage-backed securities? Anyway, a lot of bad products wind up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. That's home to what you might call the Museum of Bad Ideas. Dustin Dwyer takes us there.
If a new consumer product goes bust, it might just make it into a special glass cabinet at Arbor Strategy Group Marketing Consultants. Marilyn Raymond works for the group. She reaches into the cabinet and shows me one of her favorite product blunders.
This was a shampoo company that sold this particular product. You could buy either the city people version of the product or the country people version of the product.
Now, it's possible people who live in cities would have different shampoo needs than people in the country. But as Raymond points out, people who lived in the suburbs weren't sure which shampoo to buy. And store owners stocking shelves were even more confused. The manufacturer only shipped cases with an equal number of each.
So Rite Aid, sitting there in downtown Manhattan, was stuck with half a case of Country People. You wonder, what was the sort of thinking behind it?
You could wonder that about a lot of the products here. The collection started 30 years ago when a marketing journalist started setting aside products he wrote about. Arbor Strategy Group bought the collection in 2001 as a teaching tool for marketers and product developers. Today it includes 110,000 items, both failed and successful, from around the world. And it's not cheap to stop by and look at what's here.
Just the walk in the door would start at $5,000.
Plenty of companies are willing to pay the price. Raymond says two or three groups come in every week.
Oh, guys, here's the last one.
One of the benefits of being in a place like this is you can see some of the packages that did not work in the marketplace, and you can sit back and analyze and say, well, now, why didn't that one work?
Aaron Brody is a packaging consultant. I found him on a recent Tuesday in the collection's condiment aisle. I met another packaging consultant named Brian Wagner. He says he walks the aisles of the collection about once a month.
The majority of our clients are huge. You know, they're $1 billion plus. There's lessons for all of them.
Those lessons can be complicated, like figuring out the best way to market a new sports drink. Or they can be simple, like don't try to sell Country People shampoo in New York City. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, I'm Dustin Dwyer for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and happy Thanksgiving from all of us at Marketplace.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.